I can remember it like it was yesterday, although I was a little boy of 5 or 6 at the time. I remember going to sleep one night, and in the middle of that night, I wakened up from a nightmare, and I was terrified. I remember what it was like. It was pitch dark. Wherever I looked, I couldn't see my own hand in front of my face. I was completely disoriented. I didn't know left from right or up from down. I was sure that I was surrounded by things that were trying to hurt me. I felt as though I were trapped in a place that I could not escape from. All of these years later, I still remember that experience as one of the most terrifying events of my life. All I could do was cry out in fear, and I was sure this was the end of me. Until my father came and turned on the light, and I knew with the light and with my dad, I was going to be safe. Most of us have had those kinds of experiences in our lives. Maybe in childhood, maybe in adulthood, maybe during the times when you were a student, something has happened in your life. It may be as an imaginary, as a nightmare, and it may be as real as a crisis that you were truly facing in your life. But you know what it's like to be terrified, trapped, and wondering if there's any way to get out again. If you can imagine how terrifying that experience was for one small boy on one specific night, then imagine what life is like for a person who is constantly trapped in that kind of existence. For whom the terror is not an occasional thing, but it's a reality of life. Someone who feels as though I am trapped and I can't find a way out again. The Gadarene maniac was exactly that kind of a person. His whole life was defined by madness and by fear. He was a man with no future, no help, and no hope. Until Jesus. Until Jesus. That's the story of a lot of people who have had a personal encounter with the Lord. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know any way forward until Jesus came into my life. This morning, as we're looking at the people that Jesus met, I want to take a few moments and I want to explore what happened when a madman met the Lord. Because I believe this is more than one man's story. I believe this is an experience that mirrors what so many people live day to day, whose lives are filled with terror, uncertainty, and fear. It's about how Jesus still comes and he brings the light. So I want us to take a few moments and I want to look at what happened when Jesus encountered a Gadarene maniac. So long ago. The first thing you need to notice is this. Jesus encountered a man who had a desperate need. One of the things that's interesting about the Gadarene, as so many other people that Jesus encountered in the Bible, is you don't really know much about them. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what his given name was. We don't know how he opened himself up to the influence of demons or how long he had been infested by their control. What we do know is that about the madman is that everything in his world had fallen apart. By the time he encountered Jesus, there was nothing left of the person he had been before he was infested by demons. What does the Bible say about him? It says he had no clothes. What does that mean? It means the demons had stolen away his very dignity. They had stripped away everything that gave him any sort of humanity. He had no home. He lived among the tombs, the Bible says, and there he cut himself with stones and cried out because he had no mind. The Bible says he could break physical shackles, but he could never escape the spiritual shackles that bound his heart and his mind. Of all of the people you encounter in the Gospels, there may be nobody who was as desperate as the Gadarene maniac. He could not find a way to be free again. There was no hiding his desperate condition. The Bible says that he called himself Legion, not because it was a given name, but because that was a description of a cadre of Roman soldiers. And that was his way of saying, I am infested by so many demons that we don't know them each by name. We just know him as Legion, the man who was overcome. And there was nothing he could do to save himself. There never is. In those times when we find ourselves separated from God and apart from his love and strangers to his mercy and forgotten his grace, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Before any person has a life-changing encounter with Jesus, they have to realize they're just as helpless as Legion. We look at this man in the Bible and we think, what a pitiful creature. What a sad affair. Look at the way he is. But one of the things we have to understand as we read his story in the Gospel of Mark is that's a description of all of us apart from Christ. That's who we are in our own natural strength. Convicted of sin, convinced of our own helplessness, apart from God, unable to change, under the influence of the enemy, desperately in need of a Savior. That's who we are. Apart from Christ. Never forget that. Never begin to think of yourself as a really good person or a pretty good individual who just needed the Lord to tweak things a little bit and then you would be okay. The story of Legion reminds us that when we don't have Jesus, when we don't know him, that's who we are. And there's nothing we can do about it. We are as desperate as Legion. In fact, it's ironic to me that the times in your life when you are most tempted to think of yourself as being apart from the Lord, not needing his touch, are those times when everything's going pretty good. You know what I mean? When life is going my way and I have an abundance of everything and so far I've been able to work everything out and I began to think, you know, I can handle this without the Lord. I can do this apart from him. And as long as things are going your way, that's exactly what will happen. But sooner or later, it's going to happen again. And everything's going to fall in on you. And you're going to begin to look around and wonder, where do I turn next? And that's when you realize, apart from Christ, I have nothing. That's why the Lord will bring you to the point of desperation at times. Because that's where faith becomes real. In those times when you reach a point of real desperation, those are not the times when you ask, has God forgotten me? Doesn't God realize what's going on? Why does God let me struggle? God will look at you in those times and say, you're struggling because you need to remember how much you need my touch. Jesus drew the man in spite of himself. The encounter with Christ is full of resistance. He thought he wanted Jesus to leave him alone. Listen to what the Gadarene maniac said to Jesus when they first encountered one another. He said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you not to torment me. What's he saying? Jesus, why don't you leave me alone? Don't you see how your presence is tearing me apart? Can't you see the struggle and the conflict in me? Why don't you just go away and leave me to my madness? It would seem as though all the man wanted to do was to disappear back into the caves and to get away from the Lord. Until you remember the setting of this conversation, because the Bible says something significant happened before he began to cry out to be left alone. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says before he said those things, he ran to Jesus, fell down before him, and worshiped him. before "Why don't you leave me alone?" was a man on his knees at the feet of Jesus. Not just on his knees, but acknowledging the glory and the greatness and the magnificence of the one who was standing before him. Deep inside, he knew he needed the Lord. Even though he was fighting it with everything that was in him, deep inside he knew, "I've got to have what only Jesus can give." In fact, Mark tells us that the man named Legion was the first person in that book to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. Son of God, why do you allow me to be so tormented? In this struggle, we recognize that Jesus had created this conflict in Legion's soul. Part of him knew that he needed Jesus. Part of him was trying to run away. Part of him was drawn to what only the Lord could do. The other part just wanted to disappear back into the darkness. There's a word for that. It is the power of spiritual conviction. Conviction. As Jesus encountered Legion there outside of those caves, that man was convicted about what was going on in his life. When things are not right in your life, there'll always be a heart-deep struggle with Christ. One of the things that I find amazing in my own life, and I bet you find it as well, is in those times when I know I am doing things the Lord doesn't want me to do. I'm living in ways the Lord doesn't want me to live. I'm saying things the Lord doesn't want me to say. In those times when I know I need to get back right with Him, those are also the times when I do my very dead level best to get as far away as I can. As much as I need Him, as much as I want Him, as much as I desire the cleansing that comes from Him and the restoration that only He can give, there's also a part of me that wants to run away. God, just leave me alone. Let me sin. Don't bother me. And yet part of you also knows you need what He alone can give. Have you ever been through that experience of genuine spiritual conviction where the Lord begins to deal with you and He talks to you very specifically? One of the things I have learned about conviction is when the Lord begins to convict you about things in your life that are not right, those things you resist Him about, He doesn't deal with you in a general kind of way. He doesn't kind of say, "Well, you know, things just don't seem quite right, or maybe I need a change in my life, or maybe I need to get a little more spiritual." When God deals with you with genuine spiritual conviction, He shines a spotlight right on that place in your life that He wants you to deal with. He shows you exactly where you need His light to shine on you, where you need to change, where you need to repent, where you need to admit what you need of the Lord. And in the end, you will always discover that Christ is the only place to turn. In those times when I am convicted, I can struggle against Him. I can struggle to fix myself. But sooner or later, I'm going to discover the only person who can fix me is the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. The Bible says Jesus dealt decisively with his need. For he said to him, "Come out of that man, unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, Luke, in talking about this, said, "Don't send me to the abyss. Don't send us to the abyss." Mark says, "Don't send us out of the country." One of the commentators said, "Because we found out there's a lot of folks around here that we can infest if you just don't send us away." Think about that. Think about that. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Wow. We do not know the circumstances that caused this man to be so infested by demons, but we do know how it came about, because it's always the same. At the root of his condition was personal sin. This was not an innocent man who was walking down the street one day and all of a sudden the demons just ambushed him. This was a man who exposed himself to sin, and in exposed himself to the influence of the enemy. He thought he could handle it, and he discovered that he could not. And the sinful choices he made cost him everything. Hear this if you don't hear anything else this morning. Destruction is the nature of sin. Destruction is the nature of sin. It is the only thing it seeks to do in your life. It consumes whatever it touches. Why is it so important that we remember that? So that you never fool yourself into believing you can play with sin. Never seek to convince yourself, "I can stretch God's rules. I can break God's laws. I know what God wants me to do, but I know what I want to do myself, and I can do it my way, and everything will be okay." Destruction is the nature of sin. When I read that passage, I think about a person I knew long ago, who had been so blessed. He had a successful business. He had a nice home. He had a loving family. He was respected in the community. And then one day, out of curiosity, he decided to experiment with a recreational drug. Wife, children, everything you could want. And he said to himself, "I'll do this just this one time. I can handle it." Over the next 2 years, it took over his life. It destroyed everything he valued. He lost his business. He lost his house. And eventually, he lost his family. That's the power of sin. And sin is never satisfied. And once it has a hold on you, you can't escape apart from Christ. Only Jesus can set you free. When Christ commanded the demons to leave, he was dealing with the sin issue in Legion's life. He was saying, "Set that man free." He confronted him at his point of deepest need, and he set him free. Mark used this passage to reveal the authority of Christ. A very interesting thing is going on as this conversation is going on between Jesus and Legion. When he describes the demons imploring Jesus, he uses a special verb tense. And that verb tense means you do something over and over and over again. It means they cried out over and over. They begged and they argued and they tried to negotiate and they tried to convince. And they continually were asking Jesus to somehow give way to them. But when Jesus speaks, Mark uses a verb tense that means he said it one time. "Come out of him. Go." when Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke with authority. There was no spiritual struggle going on between Jesus and those demons. We need to understand that, because a lot of people think that we live in a world where good and evil are constantly in conflict with one another, and we're kind of waiting to see where it's going to turn out. But when the Bible talks about the authority of Christ, it always says He speaks and it is so. There is no conflict. There is no struggle. There's no doubt about how things are going to be resolved. He speaks and it happens. Just like it did in this man's life. Jesus, and only Jesus, has the power to forgive sin, and He does it with a word. He has the authority to speak, and when He speaks, it happens. He instantly vanquished the power of darkness. One of the things I love about this event that took place between Jesus and the Gadarene maniac is that this is not something that happened over the long course of an afternoon. This is something that happened in a very quick encounter between Jesus and a man who was mad. Jesus spoke, and he was well. Jesus spoke, and he was free. Jesus spoke, and those demons went into a herd of swine, and they went over a cliff, and they were done for. He vanquishes the power of darkness. And then the Bible says this, and the command of Christ made him whole, an immediate transformation. Before he met Christ, the Bible says, he was naked, wild, and lost, crying out in the darkness. But after Christ, it describes him in a whole new way. It says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. An instant transformation. Everything that was wrong with him is made right. I love the way that Luke describes this passage. This is what he says. He says, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And that's his story. And that's my story. And it's your story if you've been saved. He took you from what you had been, and he brought you to the feet of Jesus. And transformed everything. Grace always leads you to the feet of Jesus. One of the things that is true when we experience the transforming power of Christ is that we don't find ourselves lost and afraid and alone, and then we come to meet Christ, but then we have to go back out to where we used to be. Instead, everything changes. I am not the person I used to be. I'm a new creation. That's what the Bible says. And after Christ had changed him, all he wanted to do was get as close to Christ as he could possibly get. Only Christ can make that kind of difference in your life. He set him free. Legion no longer exists. Now there is a man made free by the power of Christ. Not only that, the Bible says Jesus gave the man set free a whole new purpose. The Bible says as news spread of what had happened, mostly spread by those people who had watched that herd of swine go into the ocean, they came out. But here's the most interesting thing. So they came out and they surrounded Jesus, all of these people from all around. And you know what they did? And they begged him to leave. They were so afraid of the power that they had encountered in Christ, that they just wanted him to go somewhere else. And he did. He got into a boat and he left and he went somewhere else to continue to teach the kingdom and to set people free. But here's the most interesting thing. And as Jesus got into that boat, the man who had been legion started stepping into it too. He wanted to go where Jesus was going. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you leave behind that place that represents nothing but misery? Having seen all of these people who want nothing to do with Christ, he wanted to go along. And Jesus wouldn't let him. Instead, he gave the man a mission. He said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. In other words, he was saying to this man, your job is not to go. Your job is to stay. Your job is to stay right here and share with people who know how bad things have been for you, how much you had suffered, how far you had drifted, how much sin had destroyed your life. You tell them what Christ has done for you. And the man was faithful to his mission. The Bible says, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And God used him in an incredible way. Because he did what God told him to do, God used him in a powerful, powerful way. And his witness and his testimony touched lives, and lives were changed, and people wanted to know the one who had transformed his life. Now, how do I know that's true? Because the next time Jesus was in the area is described in March 8. And you know what happened then? Jesus fed 4,000 people. What am I saying? That those who had begged him to go away now came by the hundreds and thousands to hear the message of the kingdom. Why did they come? Because of a man who had been given a mission, and he was faithful. That's what happens when you have a personal experience with Christ. And when you're willing to share, this is what God has done for me. God has a plan for your life. It's a very specific kind of a plan. To some of us, he will say, go. Go as far as you possibly can go and carry the gospel. And to some of us, he will say, stay. Stay right where I have placed you and let people see the difference that Christ has made in your life. But here's God's plan for your life and for all of us. Come and experience what Jesus can do for you. Then go and tell what he has done for you. Come to Christ. Then go and tell. And that's his plan for us all. I am so grateful that we serve a Savior who doesn't see us in our brokenness and in our darkness and in our madness and in our fear and in our sinfulness and say to us, go away. You don't deserve the kingdom and you don't deserve to have a part in me. Instead, he sees us in just that condition. And he says, if you'll just come to me, then I will transform you, and I will transform you both in this life and in eternity, and you will never be the same. And maybe there's some here today, and that's exactly what's going on in your own life. You have struggled, and you have dealt with fear, and you have dealt with failure, and you have dealt with brokenness, and you wonder if even God could love you. Yes, he does. Now come to Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And I'm going to be here at the front. And if you need to come to Jesus, I'd be glad to introduce you to him. And maybe God is saying to some of you, this is exactly where I need to deal with something in your life as a believer. That power of conviction may need to shine into various specific areas of your life where God's wanting to do work, where you need to surrender and let him handle what needs to be handled in your life. And I want to tell you, don't put it off. And if you need to talk to somebody, I'll be here. And maybe God's calling you and saying, I want you to be part of what I'm about at First Baptist Church. You need to plant yourself through membership here. Make a firm commitment. I want to be part of what God is doing. And you need to come. Maybe there's another decision. As we stand and as we sing, if God's Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you come. Let's stand. Let's sing. Shout.